to really desire that you be hallowed, that your kingdom come, that your will be done. How we thank you that you are a very, very real Father. And you have great power and great glory. Nothing we do, Lord, can take away from your honor and your glory. You are unchangeable, unchanging. Always the great I am. We thank you that you supply our need. You protect us. You have assured us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, as we leave 2010, as we enter into 2011, help us to walk as if we really know you as Father, whose name is to be hallowed, whose kingdom we want to come, whose will we want done. Bless our time around your word now, Lord. Hallow this time with your presence. Quicken our spirits, challenge our minds, move our hearts, Lord, and help us to live for your pleasure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how it is with you. What do you tune to as you open newspapers, as you listen to TV news, flip the channels? What catches your attention? It has to be that will catch your attention which interests you, obviously. If you're interested in technological gizmos, you know, you'll really catch on to the news and the information that gets thrown at you about the advances in technology. When Obama comes visiting, what you are paying attention to is, are the BPO jobs going? If that's your interest, if you're interested in making money, the stock news grabs your attention. How many of us pay attention to the news about floods in Queensland? Or the tsunami? Oh yes, because it's so big, it catches our attention, because they keep throwing it at us. But we soon want to forget those kinds of things, don't we? We might get interested in helping out a little bit, but after a few weeks, that's old news, best forgotten. We've got to go on in life. I was talking to somebody and I said, what a lousy 2010 it has been. I had two pages I left behind. Two pages that I'd type sheets of the events of 2010. All kinds of events. In the categories that I just about mentioned. But there's a lot of bad things that happen. In India, lots of bad things, right? Oh, those scams, those scandals. We live in a country that is pretty bad. But then we can think of our own lives, and usually year end is when we kind of are forced to think about, okay, what happened through this year? Where am I at now? I don't know if you think, some of you have mentioned, I feel old when I, you know, see somebody else, or I feel young. But whatever you feel, I mean, you're getting older, aren't you? You can't run away from that reality. You're getting older, right? You're not getting younger. No one is getting younger. That's not real. You can make that a sentimental wish. I wish I could get younger. I wish I could start all over again. But you're getting older. If you're like me, you think, wow, 12 months passed away so rapidly. That's another year. Was that lived well? Was that lived in a mediocre way? Did I really get something out of that 1 year? That's another 1 year gone. The same kind of thinking happens when you celebrate your birthday, right? You think, oh, that's another year. And of course, some of us don't like to think what age we are at now. We don't like to feel old. But it's another year gone, right? Is 2011 going to be another year gone when 2011 December comes by? All those thoughts are basically to ask the question, are you living usefully? Are you really living usefully? Usefully for whom? Let's begin with self. Are you living usefully for yourself? Are you in any way living in such a way that you feel blessed? And of course, it's a given. I'm talking about being blessed as a disciple of Jesus Christ, a true Christian, which must mean that I feel blessed because I've lived for Jesus. I've really walked with Him through this year. Have you? Have you really walked with Jesus? Do you feel blessed? Was it useful for your family? Or have you become a little bit more distant from each other? And family first and foremost has to mean spouse, right? I don't know if you understand this, that in God's view, and He has a view, family is not children. Family is husband and wife. And if God's will is, so it's all right to be barren, have no children. You're still a full family. So have you lived a useful life for your family, for your spouse? And only then consider, were your children blessed? Was it useful for your children? And was it useful for the community in which you live, your neighborhood, your neighbors, society at large, the place of work? When I was first introduced to Christ, and I came to a place where, by God's grace, I was unable to surrender my life to Christ and know Him as Savior and Lord, understand that He died for me in my place, I also was given to understand that this world is a very broken, needy world. We've got to catch that. It's a broken, needy world. This world is not getting better. There are some optimists. And I've met one optimist, I won't mention his name this evening, but he'd rather call me a pessimist. I would want to call myself a realist. But this world is pretty broken. It's damaged. It's gone wrong. It all started in Eden. Great name, great garden. But sin started in Eden. We call it the fall. And ever since the fall, human living is pretty sad. We bring in other things to kind of cover up the sadness, the sorrow, the brokenness, the pain. With that background, I want to recommend this evening a threefold mindset, or three choices that a Christian should constantly make. Three choices, or a threefold mindset a Christian should constantly make and remind yourself constantly about. And they are found in three passages of Scripture. The first one is this choice, and that is that you will not care about this world. Let me define it as I ask you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles this evening, to Galatians chapter 6. I'm not talking about environmental issues. I'm not talking about those things. That's a different subject altogether. And the Bible has an opinion on that as well. But I'm talking about your relationship to this world and the systems of this world. Get detached from it. Stop loving the world. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, writing the end lines of this letter to the church in Galatia, he says in verse 11, "See what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand." And he goes on to talk about some people who are causing him pain in his ministry. But leave that aside and look at verse 14, where he says, "Far be it from me to boast." And the word boast here is not talking about taking pride in, but talking about worship and praise. I would rather be worshipful about and be thinking about this as something very praiseworthy. I want to be joyful in this and nothing else, because he uses the word except. I want to boast in nothing except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be coming back to that. The cross is where Jesus died. Believer, never, never, never have a single moment in your life where you forget that you are what you are because of the cross of Christ, where he died, and he died because and for your sin and mine. He dealt with the most rascally thing in our life. The worst thing in my life is my sinfulness, which dogs me even as a believer. Amen. It dogs me. What brings me down is my sinfulness. And Christ's cross is what I will boast in. Because I'm a rotten, no good sinner. Even now, except for the cross of Christ. That's my only salvation. I have to keep going back to the cross. But notice what the Apostle Paul is able to say further, by which the world, look at it carefully, The world has been crucified to me. And I have been crucified to the world. You know, the cross has not only dealt with my sinfulness, but it has dealt with my worldliness. We've had people talk about money and progress, from cycles to two-wheelers to cars, whatever else, and we can talk about it till the cows come home. But we will never get rid of worldliness till the cross kills worldliness in your life. And the Apostle Paul says, you know what has happened in the cross of Christ? The world has been crucified to me. In the cross, the world died for me. I don't care about this world. The world is dead. I don't feel good or bad about this world. This world has no attraction for me. It's dead. And the world has nothing to look for in me, because I'm dead to the world. There is no relationship between me and this world. The systems of this world, the economy of this world, the pride of this world, the money markets of this world. Dev Sarkar told me about a common friend, a mutual friend, Frank Gulish. He must be now in his 80s. Pentecostal brother who works in Nagpur. Was a great Bible translator with Wycliffe Bible Translators. He came to India in his youth when the economy was doing well. His Canadian supporters sent him here. Very often he didn't have support. He lived by faith. Today when the markets are down, friends write to him and try to encourage him. Say, well, how are you doing? He said, you know, I don't care a dime. He meant something else, but he wrote dime instead to be appropriate for what's happening to the stock markets and to your economy. I came by faith in Christ, and that's how I live even today. But you know, if you've progressed from bicycle to car, you've got to ask yourself, have you progressed away from trusting God? The issue is not, have you got a car and a house and you're doing well and you're prospering materially. The issue is, has your relationship to God and the cross changed? Or when you think of the cross, do you also understand and recognize and remind yourself constantly, the world was killed on that cross for you, and you were murdered on the cross as far as the world goes? There's no relationship. And therefore, when James writes in chapter 4, he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And he says worse things. Read it for yourself. Or when John writes from the Isle of Patmos in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17, he says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. He says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Categorical words. And so the first choice or mindset you must have to be a blessing to this rotten, dying, sick, sin-soaked world is to die to this world. Don't care for this world. The second mindset you need to have is don't care about yourself. Turn to Acts chapter 20, one of my favorite verses. And in verse 24, the Apostle Paul died to the world. But he had died to himself as well. In verse 24, he has this to say. And it's in the context of the previous verses where he says, verse 22, 23, that wherever he is going to go from Miletus, away from the Ephesian churches and elders, the Holy Spirit has assured him that imprisonments and possible death await him. But what is his conclusion? Look at those words he uses in verse 24 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts. He says, "But I do not account my life of any value." Hey, the Holy Spirit deemed it right to keep that in the record. And those are mathematical terms. Those are accounting terms. He says, "I account. I have calculated. I have evaluated. I have thought through this deeply. And I've come to a value. The value of my life. How much is my life worth?" That's the question Paul asked of his own life. Believer, if you want to be a blessing to a broken world, you've got to have this mindset. What's the value you place on your own life? Whenever I travel, and I become quite a celebrity, because if you're a speaker, you're celebrated, garlands and whatever else, and when you're taking off again, they wish you the best. And they say, "Please go safely." Somehow those words jar. You're bothered about my safety, I should be bothered about my safety. That's all we're bothered about. The Apostle Paul says, "You know, if you're going to ask me to go safely, I know the Holy Spirit is telling me I'm not going to be safe." So all you're wishing is wishful thinking. Imprisonments, persecutions, beatings, and death await me. I'm going to die. We're always protecting ourselves. In your job, you're protecting yourself. In your society, you're protecting yourself. In your family, you don't speak for Christ because you're protecting yourself. You haven't come to this mindset. I have accounted my life as of no value. It means I'm zero. If I die and if someone kills me now, if someone spits on my face, it doesn't matter because I'm nothing. If I'm insulted, so what? If I'm humiliated, so what? What's the reputation that I have to protect? But there's a very, very clear context in which he has counted his life of no value. Look at verse 24. He says, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, if you are sitting there comfy, thinking this is for full-time workers and missionaries, then I think you're not reading scripture clear. He's talking about finishing his course. He's talking about finishing the ministry that he received from the Lord Jesus. And what's that ministry? It is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now think about yourself. You're an executive. You're in the corporate world. You're a housewife. You're not a full-time minister. Do you have a course? And do you have a ministry to testify to the gospel of the grace of God? That's all that Paul is talking about. He's not talking about church planting and evangelism. He's saying, you know, God called me to testify to the gospel of grace. And this I received from the Lord. And to do that, I have counted my life as of no value, so that I can open my mouth and speak of the gospel of the grace of God. And he talks about it as something he has received. It's a gift. It's a gift that he has received from the Lord Jesus. And what will happen if you testify to the gospel of the grace of God? You know, what a wonderful way of speaking of the gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God. You know what grace is? Yes, grace is undeserved favor. But you know, grace intrinsically means that there is charm and beauty in that. When God saves a sinner, that sinner is saved by His grace, and God's grace comes upon you and into your life and makes you holy. Positionally, yes, but also as you experience sanctification, you become actually what? Actually more and more holy and less sinful. You know, if you're less and less sinful, you're going to become more and more Christ-like, right? And who can be a better person than Christ? And if you and I are becoming like Christ, we're going to become more and more beautiful from the inside, right? Grace intrinsically is a term which means beautiful and charming. And you speak of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died to save sinners and make them children of God. God becomes Father. You become different. You become free from your sin, yourself, and the brokenness of sin. I want that to happen in my life, and therefore, says the Apostle Paul, I have stopped caring for myself. That's my mindset. It stays with me. I've died to the world. The world has died to me. I've died to myself. I don't care about me. I only care about what Jesus wants me to be. A blessing to a lost world. What else? We don't live only in the negative. Kiss the world goodbye. Kiss yourself goodbye. No, there is a third mindset. Don't care about this world. Don't care for you. The third mindset is care only about Jesus and knowing Him. You want to be a blessing to a lost, broken world? Care only about Jesus. And that's what was the mindset of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and look at his very convicting words. And I hope you realize that when the Apostle Paul speaks like this, speaks like what? Speaks the words of verse 7 of chapter 3, for instance. Philippians chapter 3 verse 7, where he says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. He lists those gains. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Most of us have nothing that we bring with us when we come to Christ. economically, socially, even spiritually, the Apostle Paul lists his achievements. Look at his achievements. He's bringing his achievements to the fore. And he's saying, I have these achievements. I have something that I call gain. I'm not laying on the table nothing. I'm not laying on the table my poverty and my broken family. Someone came to a DCC camp. After the DCC camp, he told me, he's a pagan. Still is. He said, you know, everybody in DCC has had a sad background. Then they came to Christ. So what I've understood is, because of broken families, broken marriages, broken something or the other, they embrace Christ. Are you hearing me? That's the impression some pagans have about us. We come because we had nothing, we felt lonely, we felt broken, we felt need, just very beggarly, and we came to Christ. Thank God you came to Christ, whatever brought you to Christ. But some people get the wrong impression. And so he said, I don't have any problem in my life. I don't need to come to Christ. What a tragic conclusion. But we led him to that misunderstanding. The Apostle Paul is not looking at his broken family or his broken marriage or his poverty economically. He's looking at his achievements. Look at it. And I'm challenging you. Do you have achievements? Maybe you didn't have any achievements when you first became a Christian. But since subsequent to becoming a Christian, you have achievements, you know? And those achievements have taken you into a loss of first love. You have forsaken your first love. So bring your achievements to the table. And the Apostle Paul says, not whatever was lost to me I counted as loss. Look at verse 7. He says, whatever was gain to me, that I counted as loss. Your promotions, your fat salaries, your status in society, that which you protect so much, your reputation, bring it to the cross and count it as dung. For what? For the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I count everything as loss, verse 8. For the surpassing worth. See, there is value words there. Worth. There is worth. I had worth in myself. And there is worth in Christ. And I look at the worth in myself and my achievements. And I look at the value of Christ. And you know what I look at the value of myself and all my achievements? It stinks. That's what I have reckoned. My reputation stinks. My status stinks. It's dung. And dung stings. Stinks. I count it as dung so that I might know Christ. I want to know Christ. And how do I want to know Christ? I want to be found in Him first and foremost in salvation. Verse 9. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. That's salvation. That righteousness from God that depends on faith. And then secondly, in my sanctification, verse 10, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. You know, Christian talk, when we talk about sanctification, is becoming like Christ so that we look nice. The Apostle Paul brings to play even this part of Christ's likeness. I want to become like Him, to be conformed like Him in His death. I want to be Christ like in his death, so that I might by any means possible attain the resurrection from the dead. Three mindsets. Get rid of that world centric living. Be crucified to the world, and let the world be crucified to you. Galatians 6:14. Stop caring about yourself. Count yourself as of no value. You're nothing, really nothing. And then embrace Christ. He's glorious beyond imagination. The world will be a better place. Your family will be a better place. Your spouse will be a little happier with you. And your children will be blessed. Amen. Do you want to live like that? Or do you want to live like you've lived so far? Bow with me in prayer. Father, we ask that by your Spirit, you will make such things sensible to us, Lord. Lord, in a very few minutes, we're going to be wishing each other. And life is so easily lived in the flow of things. Lord, help us to have a mindset that is stayed, fixed on these things. So that everything we say and do flows out of convictions. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.